There's this idea that a fisheries scientist came up with called the shifting baseline. It says we take for granted whatever world we are born into. Take New Hampshire, for instance. Ecological historian Karen Alexander says the Granite State is full of baselines that have shifted.
I mean, 100 years ago, New England was filled with farms. And there weren't the vast forests that you think of in New Hampshire and Maine and Vermont. Most of it was farmland.
This is perhaps why, amid the uproar around Northern Pass, there has been little attention paid to the people already living with similar kinds of power lines.
Okay, so there's my power lines.
John Turner lives in Goffstown, and National Grid's Phase 2 line, which uses the same technology proposed for Northern Pass, is about 300 feet from his back porch. He doesn't have a problem living near them.
I grew up where our Little League field was abutting power lines. And I remember those spring days where we were playing baseball and you could hear the hum and the crack and the hiss of the power lines.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean he likes them.
I think what I have in my backyard, every time I drive under them, is an eyesore.
Turner's house is in a development that hugs the Phase 2 right-of-way. And as I made my way down the street, knocking on doors, nobody really seemed bothered to live near them. Of course, going to a development built underneath power lines obviously yields a biased sample, because anyone who really hates them won't buy a house so close. These are folks whose baselines have shifted.
So, let's hop out for a minute.
But that's southern New Hampshire, where many have moved to get their kids into good school districts or to be close to jobs. When you drive about 100 miles north of Goffstown to Sugar Hill, you find folks like Nancy Martland, who have a decidedly different baseline.
I don't really know people down there. It's hard for me to compare the communities, but I know here people treasure the landscape. They view this as an unnecessary insult, and they're just not willing to accept it.
Martland, a vocal Northern Pass opponent, is standing at the top of a prominent sledding hill on the western side of Sugar Hill. She and other opponents say the impacts of the power line would be worse in the North Country, where there are more people who have moved north for the mountains and the views.
Why should anyone be asked to get over something like that when there's no need for them to have to get over it?
Martland says she sees power lines everywhere now. She drives under the Phase 2 line pretty frequently.
And I'm horrified when I see it. I'm horrified every time I see it, and I see it a lot.
Surveys show that people like Martland, who were around before a controversial power line is built, tend to continue hating it for a long time, much more strongly than newcomers. That's perhaps no surprise. But that people like Martland exist in the same world as people who would happily buy a house next to a power line is emblematic of the fight to characterize the impacts of the Northern Pass project. One side of the debate loudly proclaims that the project would destroy New Hampshire's scenery, fundamentally changing the character and culture of New Hampshire and driving away tourists and second home buyers, while the other side declares that the project would eventually blend right in and have no impact whatsoever on the property values of abutting homes. It's next to impossible to quantify to what degree some of these claims have merit, but the best proxy we have is property values. Will people still be willing to come here? To bolster their claims, the project's critics point to the experience of realtors in the North Country like Andrew Smith.
What we're seeing on a day-to-day basis is buyers choosing to not buy, and that's having the bigger impact than actually price reductions, because it's putting people in a horrible financial situation because they can't sell their property at any price.
Smith, who has sold homes above and below Franconia Notch for 20 years, says his firm represents about 20 properties that simply aren't selling because they're near the proposed route.
The fear of the unknown is a huge impact right now.
But at the same time, there's a large body of research that has looked statistically into the effect that power lines have on property values, and it's by no means conclusive.
Some of the general findings, and some of these may be somewhat counterintuitive, but some of the studies found really minimal impacts on property values.
Thomas Jackson is a real estate appraiser from Texas who has a PhD for his work studying these kinds of impacts. He says about half of the studies done in different parts of the country and often in subdivisions and suburban areas find no impact on property values despite the concerns of communities.
They have concerns, and you know, I'm not discounting any of those concerns and perceptions. But a lot of times that in the long run, it doesn't get borne out in the marketplace.
But sometimes there are impacts. A study of Canadian homes funded by Hydro-Québec in 2002 found that in some scenarios, homes can lose an average of 10% of their value. But it takes having a tower right in plain view of the front door. That's the case for one property in Goffstown, Megan Terrio and Jeff Pinard have a striking view of the transmission corridor. Their driveway spills out practically underneath the towers.
We couldn't afford to be in this neighborhood if it wasn't for this house because of the fact that it was near power lines.
But in that same neighborhood, a half dozen homeowners said they didn't think they got a good deal in the slightest for buying a home near the power lines, like John Turner.
Back in 2005, there was no, the properties were limited. To buy something, a house this size, you had to buy where you could in this area.
And that same Hydro-Québec study found that some houses, ones that were on the right-of-way but didn't have a view of the towers, even tend to sell for slightly more. That's because a view looking out onto an empty right-of-way has certain advantages, says the study's author, François Desrosiers.
They can go naked in their living room without being bothered by neighbors.
So, to put it simply, and without providing any real conclusions, throwing up a power line might take a big chunk out of the value of certain homes, but many may not be affected at all. Hopkinton realtor Judy Hampe, who has sold homes near the Phase 2 line for over 20 years, says the studies don't tell her much.
There's always a buyer for everything, and it just takes a little bit longer to sell the homes that are by power lines.
She drove me around to look at the various homes she sold that abut the Phase 2 right-of-way. She says there are so many variables, from the characteristics of an individual home to the market it's sold into, that impact can really only be determined on a case-by-case basis. And simply, not everyone cares about seeing the pylons. Not everyone has the same baseline.
I would say about 50% of the market really cares.
So would the state get over Northern Pass if it were built? The answer is likely something along the lines of some would and some wouldn't.
I suppose if Northern Pass got through in 30 or 40 years, people would look at it and say, oh, well, that's just those big power lines. We seem to be capable of getting used to a lot.
Karen Alexander notes fights over many big developments like the highway through Franconia Notch have come and gone and been all but forgotten.
But I don't think that whether we can get used to them is really the right question. I think the question is whether we should get used to them.
In a lot of ways, those are the hard questions.
Well, yeah.
And tomorrow, we'll continue looking at a few of those hard questions. Namely, if Northern Pass doesn't get built, what new source of power will come online in New England? For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.